The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and today we're going to be talking about what's with today's weddings. I'm very excited about this show. I love weddings. After all the flowers and caterers, favors, videographers, expensive gowns and decorations, what does today's wedding really mean to the bride and groom or to their guests? Are weddings just a big party? Many young couples want their weddings outside of conventional settings or even just outside. Can there still be mystery, a spiritual bonding, a sense of the miraculous in today's wedding? My guest, Paul Mayer, has officiated at hundreds of weddings, and he calls himself an activist wedding celebrant. I love that. And he's found a way to bring back the transformational meaning that traditional cultures see in weddings. Mayer's wedding ministry came to him after over half a century of leadership in the cause of peace and justice, from civil rights work with Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. to efforts regarding Central America, the Vietnam War, the Soviet Union, Israeli-Palestinian relations, Japanese atomic bomb survivors, Cuba relations, and now the climate crisis. Father Mayer will share his powerful insights about how weddings and marriage and family can help to create a better world. And before we talk, I'm going to tell you a little more about his background because it's just so fascinating. Father Paul Mayer is a non-canonical, formerly married priest. His experience as a young Jewish refugee from Nazi Germany eventually inspired him to co-found Children of War to help young survivors of wars around the world. Becoming Catholic and then a Benedictine monk, his work with Dr. King in 1965 for the Voting Rights Campaign set him on a lifelong path of organizing for global peace, social justice, ecology, and nonviolent social change. His efforts have included pioneering liberation theology in Central America, which I learned about when I was studying my master's degree in theology, working with Jesse Jackson in the Rainbow Coalition, addressing the 1984 Democratic Convention on Nuclear Disarmament, coordinating the Catonsville 9 Defense Committee in support of the Religious Nonviolent Action Against the Vietnam War, and working with other world luminaries over the last 50 years. Most recently, Father Paul has co-founded the Climate Crisis Coalition, and he's received honors for his nonfiction writing. And I can't wait to read his new book, Wrestling with Angels, A Spiritual Memoir of a Political Life. And that's due for publication pretty soon. Looking forward to it. So welcome to Family First, Paul.
Hi, Randy. Great pleasure to be with you.
Oh, the pleasure's all mine. You have such a vast experience. I could talk to you for hours. But we are going to focus today on zeroing in on marriage and weddings in particular. And so how did you come to be interested in helping couples with their weddings?
Well, you know, as you said earlier, I was a Benedictine monk for 18 years, and I did very little wedding. I did one wedding. My first wedding was one of my jobs in the monastery, besides being the director of our retreat house. I took care of the horses. And this young couple came to me. There was right near our monastery, there was sort of a place called Wild West City. And this was a young couple. They were a cowboy and a cowgirl. They worked there. I guess they must have found out my name through our mutual blacksmith who took shod the horses, and they asked me if I would marry them. So I went down there, and it was a real Western wedding. You know, I can't remember whether they were on horseback or not, but it was, you know, really down to earth and quite a shock having been in the monastery so long. But after that, you know what happened? I used to do weddings very rarely, but I remember one day I did this wedding. It was way up in the mountains somewhere. And in the congregation was this woman who was a friend of mine. She was actually married to a synagogue cantor. And she came up to me afterward and she said, "Paul, I want to have lunch with you back in New York." So I did, and she said, "You know, your weddings are really unique, and I think you should be doing a lot more of them." I said, "Okay." I was taken a little aback. I got home, and in the next few days, the phone began to ring about weddings.
Oh.
It was as if the universe was conspiring, and I kind of got on this, the momentum just took over, and now I had this, I don't know how many weddings I have performed in the last 10, 15 years. I've lost touch, but hundreds upon hundreds, and it's quite interesting.
Yes, I bet it is. What do you find are the most troubling issues for couples that are planning their weddings with you?
Well, it's a big question. I would say on the most immediate front, the details of the wedding ceremony and of the celebration today have become so overwhelming, so distracting, that I fear sometimes, you know, for my couples about losing the focus. As you indicated in your introduction, I think on an immediate level, that is very, very distracting. And I see one of the major challenges of my work with the couples is to focus their attention on this unique event in their lives. And I think that's a big part. But on the larger, the macrocosm, I think the biggest challenge today for couples, for marriage, and for families is isolation. I do not think that the universe or the creator, if we want to blame it on her, has intended that families and couples should be living in these little apartments in the urban setting or in little houses in the suburban setting, often barely knowing their neighbors. But I think that is a great deprivation. You know, the deprivation of community, the deprivation of tribe, the way among still I have done some work with Native American and indigenous people, you know, the whole family, there's the mom and the dad, but there's also the grandma and the aunts, and if they're not living under the same roof, they're living in proximity. And then the larger community, that I think a young couple starting out needs that kind of support. And I think our hearts yearn for togetherness, to be connected to people. And that when things happen, you know, that we support each other, we help with the raising of the kids, and it's a very, very, very important thing. And sort of jumping ahead, and we'll get to this more in detail, when I finally did get married later in my life, I founded a community called Project Share in East Orange, which is a inner city community in New Jersey, African, largely African American. And we had two small apartment houses, and it was largely couples, some single people, six apartments in each house, but we had a common backyard, and the children played with each other, and there was a, you know, I and the women especially collaborated together, you know, and could support each other, and it wasn't perfect, but I think it was a step in the right direction. But I think that's a great hardship for young people to have to carry this burden, this heavy burden, and this tremendous, I don't want to make it sound just like a burden, but two people living together for the, you know, allegedly for the rest of their lives, that's a pretty big deal, the way it's arranged in our culture, and doing it all alone is not easy.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. There's our culture is set up to give minimal support to probably what's the most important thing going on in a human community is the couples getting together and reproducing and raising healthy children. Yeah, it's one of my biggest passions, trying to get the society to appreciate how important that is and give them the support they need. And your project with creating community among families sounds fascinating. There are many religious, more conservative officials who look negatively at trying to create non-traditional wedding situations. How do you speak to them?
Well, first of all, very pragmatically, since I am, you know, I'm a Catholic priest, but I'm ordained. Next May, I will have been ordained 55 years.
My goodness, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I celebrated my 80th birthday last February.
My goodness, I didn't guess that either.
Well, I'm also a yoga teacher and yoga practitioner, and I just did my yoga practice to get me ready for this program.
Yeah, it helps. That's great.
It does. I feel wonderful. But, you know, the fact that when I did get married, I told my abbess and my superiors that I did not believe that celibacy was the burning issue of our times. But justice for the poor and world peace were, and I felt that was my ministry, and I felt that God wanted me to continue in my priestly ministry, and I've done that now for over 40 years, but of course the institutional church frowns on that, so the very fact that I'm doing these weddings is, is, you know, considered illegal and offensive, and, you know, the church doesn't officially recognize these weddings. So when I have Catholic, you know, really practicing Catholic couples who, let's say, want to get married outdoors because, you know, as an environmentalist, I think the earth is sacred, and I always say jokingly, Adam and Eve were not married in St. Patrick's Cathedral. You know, they were out there in the garden, and God didn't seem to have a problem with it, right?
Right.
So I tell the Catholic couples if they do want to have a, you know, can find a sympathetic, in parish priest, they can have a ceremony like that beforehand or afterwards. But ours will be the communal celebration, you know, with everybody there.
Paul, we're up on time for a break, so I'm going to interrupt you, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First, and we're talking with Father Paul Mayer, who is a non-canonical, formerly married priest who has found a new mission in helping couples develop a wedding that will really impact their marriage for life. And he's been active for over 50 years in all major issues that we've heard about all over those decades, from peace to social justice to climate change and so on. And I wanted to ask, we were just talking about how traditional religions often look a little askance at a wedding ministry where you're helping couples have a really meaningful ceremony for them, even if it's non-traditional. And I was wondering how your work in peace and social justice has impacted your view of marriage and weddings.
Can I say one more word about my ministry? Just, you know,
please.
What in the shape of the weddings, if a couple, for example, wants a traditional Catholic wedding, I honor the needs of the couple, you know, and we do that. And some, if people want something a little bit less conventional, something where people are more creative, sometimes even people who are very nature-oriented and connect to the indigenous path, I might even burn the sage at the beginning of the ceremony, just like we burn incense in church. And, you know, I feel that weddings are such a universal reality, even though they have been given a certain shape by the traditional religious groups, and sometimes those shapes can be beautiful. But it is such a powerful symbol that it explodes in many different forms, you know, many, many colors, many shapes. Just wanted to say that. So when that
That's was, a wonderful picture, yes.
You know, and when people, when the traditional groups have problems with that, I think that just indicates the rigidity which organized religion can often take, you know. And, you know, as Jesus said when they criticized him because he was healing somebody on the Jewish Sabbath, the religious authorities criticized him, and he said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, laws were made to serve humans. Humans were not made to serve the law. And I think that losing that reality is what causes a lot of problems in traditional religious groups.
That makes so much sense. Very, very good image. There's a wonderful chapter in your memoir, which you were kind enough to send me, that's focused on marriage. And can you tell us how you see the weddings that you're performing and giving more meaning to the wedding can contribute to the well-being of our society today. Even if traditional religions aren't moving fast enough for these young couples, they're creating the future. So how do you see that contributing to the well-being
sure.
of society?
And by the way, it isn't even always young couples. You know, sometimes I get people of every age, size, shape, color, and makes it interesting. But
yes.
To get to your important question, I would say I think my simple philosophy is how can I give this couple a good start? I can't assure their future, you know, or monitor their relationship, but give them a good start by having a really powerful, creative, beautiful experience. And particularly when I know that the wedding culture just has people mesmerized, hypnotized, you know, the amounts of money that are spent on weddings are often just indecent, you know. And
yes.
They lose their focus. I'm not against people having a good time, a party, wonderful wine, and beautiful music, and dancing, and laughter, and right on with all that. But all of that will be enhanced, in fact, by having a really significant ceremony. And I think the ceremony, what people, in all immodesty, people love my weddings. And I think the reason is because I try to get away from this stereotype of one more boring wedding, everybody looking at their watches, you know, can't get this over with so we can have a beer or something. And so I tell all the people there that it's not a matter of me saying magic words up there, but all of them have come to marry this wonderful couple whom we love to each other. And by our presence, we are supporting them. And I invite everybody to focus the energy of their hearts on uniting this bride and groom. And then I weave the theme of community all throughout the wedding, trying to make it more participatory and inclusive. And so that I tell the people they are not here merely to be spectators, passive, bored spectators, but they have come here to really marry this couple to each other. It's the community that does that. And even in the from the Christian point of view, you know, St. Paul, speaking of marriage, he says, what makes it a sacrament, or what makes it sacred, is the symbolism, at least from the Christian perspective. And that's not the only perspective, because I do a lot of weddings with rabbis and with a lot of people who aren't explicitly Christian. But it's an he says, this is a great sacrament, Christ and his church. So it is about the relationship from the Christian perspective between Jesus and the community, and that is symbolized in every wedding ceremony. So the community is central, and the people not only are marrying this couple, but I like to tell them that by their presence they are also committing themselves in some way to this couple, you know, that they will support them with their love, with their prayers, with their whatever happens, you know. That's so if you're taking a risk by accepting a wedding invitation, you might say. And but the heart of it, and I sometimes this goes back to your question about how this relates to my work, and I see it as part of my work. And I like to use the symbolism of the first page of the Bible, although I might add this exists in many other religious and spiritual traditions, but taking the garden symbol. A lot of the Native Americans also have this beginning in a garden in the natural world, and God creating man and woman in his image and, or in her image and likeness, and putting them in the garden. And then it doesn't stop there. God gives them responsibility for the garden. And it's very striking on this short page. This handing over of responsibility is repeated twice. He said, you know, you take care. And this, by the way, has been mistranslated and misused, telling them, you know, make creation subject to yourself, you know, take it over. That is a perversion, and that is what has happened in Western culture, which has turned you know, this beautiful earth into a wasteland more and more, with and climate change being the most extreme development of that. But
yes,
God says, you know, be caretakers of the garden, of all the creatures, the animals and the birds, and even it says what the Native Americans call the creepy crawlies, you know, the creatures that crawl in the dust, you know, not make them subject to yourself, which is a terrible relationship, but be caretakers, be part of it. You know, the problem is that Western culture no longer sees itself part of the natural world, but somehow differentiated from it and seeing it as almost like a piece of real estate, you know, to be mined, to be exploited, to be excavated, if not directly raped. And so the handing over of responsibility for the garden. And then I like to say that at each wedding, this handing over of responsibility for the garden of creation is renewed for this man and woman. So that God is saying, you know, Emily and Raphael, here is my garden. You know, take it, treat it with love and make it a place of peace and harmony and love, your home, your neighborhood, your place of work, you know, the family relationship. You know, you be the nurturers of the garden. So I like to think that in each wedding, the man and woman, and this is a very tribal thing, this certainly happens among indigenous people,
yes,
are elevated to a new level in the community, a new level of dignity and also a new level of responsibility for the community and for the garden. So it's not just about moonlight and roses, you know, and sort of this romantic love, which is often not even authentic, but is sentimentalized by our culture in so many ways. And, you know, we see it in the movie, television, you know, our literature. Instead of really being something very deep and, you know, and from the Christian perspective, there's also, this is a great sacrament, Christ and his church, and the fact that this is also a sacrificial relationship, the fact that Jesus died, at least the tradition has it, you know, greater love has no man than to lay down his life for the community. So these are all, so that lifts it out of that sentimental, trivial, materialistic context and makes it something very powerful. And the fundamental idea being that through this sacramental reality, through this ritual, the man and woman are actually given strength to fulfill this, you know, and to be caretakers of the garden. They're given not only a new level of responsibility, but they're being given a new support, both from the earth and from the Creator.
That makes so much sense, and it's clear from what you're saying how moving your weddings must be. When we come back, I want to talk about your experience, and later on we'll actually hear a poem about your grandchild. So, listeners, please stay tuned.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iRadioBlog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible? a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Learn more. Live better. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back to Family First. We're speaking with Father Paul Mayer, who is a non-canonical, formerly married priest and activist wedding celebrant. And he's sharing with us how he makes weddings, he helps couples make weddings really meaningful and not just a big party and a boring performance, but truly involving everyone. And I'm getting that the real focus is the community and the added strength that the new couple gives to the community, and also the energy and of the community supporting them in their new enterprise as being a united couple and a family. And Paul, I know you have been married yourself and have children and now grandchildren. Can you share a little more about that experience for you? I just want to say, I know I've read about in liberation theology, there are a number of priests in South America and Central America who are married, but it is more unusual in North America. Tell us a little bit more about your personal experience.
I went to work in Panama for a while at this community called San Miguelito. It was sort of one of the first kind of, was before liberation theology officially emerged, but I think it was on the ground floor of that movement, an experimental community, a wonderful place. And on the way there, I spent 3 months in Mexico, in Cuernavaca, with Ivan Illich, who was quite a brilliant philosopher and theologian.
Yes.
Had this community, this language school, and while I was there, I met an American nun, and we fell in love. And at first we went back, she to Venezuela, I to Panama to do our work, but then we finally decided to get married. And
wonderful.
So we were married, I guess, about 14, 15 years. Then we separated. We were divorced, and that is a story in itself. And I will say a lot about, I could say a lot about the problem in marriages, about men being able to really express and deal with their feelings in an open way. I think that's been a problem in all my relationships, and even though I have improved somewhat. But that's for another interview. But suffice it to say, we were married, and then we returned to the United States. I became almost immediately very involved in the peace movement, for which I had always had an attraction, but never been formally involved. But some of my friends a number of Catholic priests and others, including the brothers, Fathers Daniel and Philip Berrigan, who are famous peace priests. Philip died, and Daniel is 90 now, and is also a great poet. And these two brothers, along with seven other people, formed a group called the Catonsville Nine. And they went into a draft board in Catonsville, Maryland, and took out all the 1A files and poured homemade napalm, which was being used in Vietnam to burn the flesh of human beings, to burn these files so that the young men at that time could not then be drafted. Anyway, I became the coordinator of that, and the trial took place the day after my wedding. That was my honeymoon, to go to the trial of the Catonsville Nine.
Oh, my.
And then then I helped start this community in East Orange, and we moved there. We had two children, one beautiful adopted girl, Maria, Puerto Rican and Italian, and Peter, one so-called biological child, although we loved them equally. And Maria gave me six grandchildren, and Peter one. And Maria had her struggles with drugs. She's really doing, you know, doing very well. And so I helped to raise these children in the inner city. Most of the fathers were African-American, so I was very much part of this African-American community, playing some role. The two oldest ones I had a major role in, but beautiful children who are now scattered, but I'm close to most of them. And then a new grandson with my son Peter and his partner April in Brooklyn. And, you know, I try to stay close to all of them. You know, they're a treasure. And, of course, they remind me of, you know, that we need to build a beautiful, we need to build a safe and sustainable world for these beautiful children who are an endangered species, as we all are, as, you know, our carbon, oil, and coal addiction drives us deeper into this very dangerous situation, which tragically enough, some leaders in our government, members of Congress, and presidential candidates are actually denying. You know, it's like arguing whether the earth is flat.
Right.
Because it's really not a matter of belief, ideology, left, right, or religious belief. It's science, and the science, unfortunately, is absolutely clear. So, but anyway, so I like to connect, I like to think that my wedding ministry, my family life, I try to weave it into a some kind of whole with an H, with a W, but I don't think I'm always successful, but that is my vision and my goal.
Well, it's certainly a worthy one. But your story reminds me that Martin Luther, the original Martin Luther, was a priest in the Catholic Church, and we think of him as the beginning of Protestantism, but he was a priest, and he married a nun, and he actually became famous as being a very fine father. So you're certainly in a good tradition here.
Yes, he was also an Augustinian friar. He
yes.
was also a monk of sorts.
Yes, right. So let's get down to the details here of what would be the first thing you would do with a couple who came to you, like walk us through that. What would be mm-hmm. the first thing that you would do with them? How do you start the process?
Well, the first thing is I meet with them. So we, you know, I chat with them on the phone, and we set up an appointment, and we get to know each other. That's very important, you know, as human beings. And I find out a lot about their, about where they came from, how they met each other. I always ask them, and most couples are a little taken aback by this question. I say, why do you want to get married? And I get some of the most interesting answers. And occasionally, people are a little dumbstruck, you know, as if they don't know. Of course, they know somewhere in their psychic apparatus. And occasionally,
right.
Occasionally I get some stunningly beautiful answers as well.
That must be really interesting. I know my husband and I, we had a relatively traditional marriage, but it meant so much to do that because our parents were against it. So being able to put together a traditional wedding with all our friends there was a huge step and meant so much to us. And we really had to know why we were getting married when our parents were resistant. I guess they just thought we were too young or whatever. But it made such a difference for us to be totally involved in the process. You know, our mother-in-laws didn't take over, or
yes.
our friends helped us put it together. And that meant a lot over the years, I think.
Mm.
And also knowing that we were married because we wanted to declare our couplehood to our community. We really
yes.
wanted the community to recognize our commitment to each other. So that's a wonderful question, and I think there is young people get caught up so much in the movies and the TV about
yes.
wow, the big party and getting all the bridesmaids in the right clothes that they forget, you know, is this something that you really are prepared to do and see it as not just a physical thing, but a life thing?
Yes, and often I will ask them if they kind of get stuck at this. I say, now, when you think of this handsome man, you know, now, what are the first three qualities that come to mind when you think of him? You know, and I try to draw it out of them, why they love this person, and it's very important. And then I ask them about their spiritual history, you might say. You know, sometimes they come from a formal religious background. Sometimes there are couples I get who, well, for example, don't want me to make any Christian references. Or sometimes they don't even want me to mention God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not stuck on that because, you know, God is a three-letter word, which carries a lot of baggage with it historically and evokes all kinds of image, and unfortunately, for many people, negative images. Because they have had a negative religious experience, you know, and who knows what it is, or no experience, but sometimes they have been in religious traditions that are very legalistic. God forbid, sometimes there's even histories of abuse, of which we're hearing so much these days, especially from, you know, about Catholic priests, although I suspect it also exists in other clergy situation, but whatever it is, sometimes, so I try to respect that, but I believe that a wedding is an inherently spiritual experience, whether or not it's explicitly religious in the traditional sense of the word, and I think it's possible to create that kind of experience without even explicitly mentioning God. That may shock some of your listeners, because how can you have a wedding without God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I call upon the witness of the universe and whatever powers surround us, and I don't think we have to get hung up on the three-letter word if the people find it offensive, you know. Is it better to send them to a justice of the peace and have some cold, legalistic wedding for the most part, or to have me involved or somebody like me, that creates a beautiful and meaningful thing.
That makes so much sense. We're up on another break, but just quickly I say I've traveled all over the world much, not as much as you, but what I noticed was, you know, that God is represented by many different names, many different concepts, and but we all know there's a power greater than ourselves, and it can help us. So Do listen, come back. We're going to hear a poem from Paul about his grandson and some other great insights.
Are we getting any questions?
Not so far.
Not so far. Okay.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Father Paul Mayer, who's been a leader for over 50 years in very important peace and social justice movements. And he's an activist wedding celebrant, and he's been sharing his great wisdom about the real spiritual and powerful moment when two people come together in a wedding. And he's done many untraditional weddings and more traditional ones, and been trying to and succeeding in creating an environment where the couple is renewed and connected to their whole community. And I love that. You mentioned that you had a poem about your grandchild, and I would love to hear it, Paul. If you can read it to us now, that would be great, because that's all about how important family is to the community.
Sure. Well, I do write... Excuse me, I do write some poetry in addition to my memoirs, which I just finished. So this is, I call this Afternoon of a Fawn. A blazing August sunlit afternoon on Route 280. Suddenly out of the shadows steps a tiny, lovely fawn, gangling and spindly-legged. It walks gingerly, lost, on uneasy hooves, and thankfully makes her way back into the woods just in time before automotive's disaster strikes. She is so fragile, so innocent, that tearfully I would like to sweep her up into my arms, this little refugee from her shrinking wilderness home. It easily brings to mind my newly arrived grandson, also lovely, still fragile, and with habitat in jeopardy. How I love his tow-headed beauty and innocence, still unsteady on newly discovered legs, but determined to make it in this uncertain world. How I treasure his embrace, his incipient conversation, still mysterious, except to the angelic realms from which he recently emerged. And so, on this torrid August afternoon, my heart is heavy and yet filled for all our Earth planet's children.
That really is beautiful, and what a wonderful image. So many of us have seen that, a fawn that almost gets in trouble, and our kids are delicate like that, and we owe them everything to see that their world is as safe and peaceful as we can make it. But the poem also leads to my next question. How do you view, what are you learning from the couples that you're officiating for about our future? Is there hope?
Well, it's a very complicated question because, of course, I try to live by hope. I try to make it distinct from optimism, which is perhaps cheap hope, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Things, the world is in big trouble all around. And, of course, why would this not endanger our couples with the economic crisis, which affects inter-couple relationships and the economy, so many things. Life is so hard raising children these days. But I think there is always the vision that I find in many wonderful couples who really come together not just to promote consumerism, but to create a new kind of world, a new kind of future. I've been going down to Wall Street, by the way, for the Wall Street occupation, and I am so inspired by the young people. I think our young people today, and their lot is not an easy one, there's so much imagination and creativity and generosity, and I see that among many couples. And as I say, it's not an easy thing because so many things are, I mean, even the whole concept of monogamy is not as clear and unquestionable as it was once, perhaps. And so there are many, many complexities, but I think I do continue to believe in the goodness. You know, even Anne Frank, she said, as she was later exterminated by the Nazis, as she was writing her little diary, she said, "I still continue to believe in the goodness of man and woman." And one lives in that hope, and I think we have nothing else but hope and our courage and our determination to make this a better world. You know, I see no alternative except sitting down and watching TV all day or something.
Right. When do you think your book will be coming out? And let me say it again. Everybody should be watching for it. Wrestling with Angels, a Spiritual Memoir of a Political Life. And I do think that it's so rare and wonderful for you to be so focused on family and have such a strong spiritual background that you can actually share with people who are starting their family with their wedding. So when can we expect your book to be released? How should people get in touch with you if they want you to officiate or if they want to recommend you to friends and family?
Well, first of all, Randy, I am looking for a publisher and an agent. I am just about finished with the manuscript, and now that's the next task. So if anybody has any inspiration, insights, connections, suggestions, I welcome them all. My contact information is, first of all, my website, which is Paul Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, one, the number one, at gmail.com. Paul Mayer, one, at gmail.com. And then one of my wonderful grooms created a wedding website for me as a gift. And it's really beautiful, and you can find out a lot more, including the chapter that might be a chapter in my book on marriage, which I have on. And that is www.revpaulmayer.com. www.revpaulmayer.com. M-A-Y-E-R. So that's my main contact information, and I'd be delighted to hear from anybody, and I'll get back to you. And the way I hope, for example, when God blesses me with a publisher or however I'm going to deal with this book, you'll be one of the first to hear from me, Randy, so that you can spread the good news to all of your wonderful listeners.
Oh, I will definitely want to be doing that. So I have one last question. We just have a minute. What is one of the most unusual weddings that you've done that just pops into your mind?
Well, I did a very interesting wedding once out on a sailboat.
Ah.
The groom was a naval officer, and they were all, and it was not a large sailboat, I might add. So there we were in New York Harbor. I was kind of steadying myself, and it was gorgeous. It was just beautiful, and the bride was in her full bridal dress, and it was very interesting and very heartfelt. And, of course, I very deeply believe in the sacredness of water and the sacredness of the earth and of the sky, so it was a beautiful wedding.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you. That's a great, great way to end this fascinating interview. So thank you so much for being my guest, Father Paul Mayer. And he's at revpaulmayer.com. And watch for his book, Wrestling with Angels.
Thank you, Randy. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you, Paul.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.